B-Pod Studios.
This is the DraftKings Over Under Show with the Bankroll Boys, Joe Murray and Dan Lifschitz on Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Good morning, everybody. Big betting day. Get your bankroll ready. As we're here until 9 o'clock today, good morning to you. I'm Joe Murray. Dan Lifschitz is here today. We are back, Dan.
Yeah, we are. Feels like it's been like, I don't know, feels like it's been a couple weeks since you've been here, right?
Yes. I woke up bright and early today, ready to go. A big betting day for those. Well, at least for me, Dan, it's going to be a big betting day. We got the NBA Finals, one game potentially to go. We'll find out on that one. The NHL Finals, Stanley Cup Final, now 2-1. There's a bunch of free agency news, and it hasn't even started yet in the NBA, whether it's Chris Paul or Damian Lillard. There's odds on their next team.
But, Joe, the Celtics should sign them.
We'll talk about that. DeAndre Hopkins has visits with Tennessee, but also the New England Patriots. There's odds of where he'll end up. There's horse racing today, which I don't know if there's a buzz for it or not. It's the final leg of the
triple crown. So
UFC 268 tonight is actually kind of a sneaky one. I know your feelings on UFC, Dan, but
yeah, sneaky fix
tonight though. Nunez Aldana, this is gonna be a good one. I'm actually interested in this, and
what is the market for the female UFC fights? Is it generally as big as the male? I'm just being honest. I don't know.
No, but Amanda Nunez is the biggest.
Right. Well, yeah. Especially, I mean, obviously, when you had what's her face here.
There was Ronda Rousey. Holly Holm was kind of.
I mean, Ronda Rousey was the biggest fighter in UFC, right? Male, female,
of that time, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Right.
I would say so.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, my question is more along the lines of, is that still kind of where it is, or have we moved off of that? Like, where are we with that?
Well, I'll tell you this much. People are very interested in this one tonight. And you're right. Like, what is the market? I mean, Amanda Nunez, we know her as, you see her everywhere, right? She's even talking about doing WWE now. But we'll see tonight. Irene Aldana. I think a lot of people aren't interested. There are some other good matches here. We'll make that one quick. But
I was also being serious. I don't know. Genuinely asking the question.
I think it's more about can anyone take down Nunez?
Gotcha.
Right? Like that's really what it's about at this point. But, you know, I think she's been at the top of the game. She's been ranked number one for a long time. And, you know, this sport. When are they going to eventually fall? You know, you get your little rise for a little bit, then mm-hmm. you fall, and then you're still in it, and then you fall. Yep. That's kind of how it works in UFC, but you know how those judges work. Some other events today. We got baseball, obviously. Red Sox, Yankees, can you feel the buzz? Soccer, Dan. I mean, I've been invited to like three soccer parties today.
Wow.
What? Tell everybody what's going on today.
Yeah, Champions League final today. Inter Milan and Man City. It's interesting. Man City, the best team in the world right now by far. Obviously ended up winning the Prem after Arsenal, you know, collapsed like the Boston Celtics in the second half or really the... you know, the final quarter of the season there. And, then made it through the Champions League. They have the best team in the world by far. That's why you're seeing the line. I mean, I will say the line discrepancy is extremely large in this match, Joe, between what are called American books, right, and what are called the non-American books. Asian books, European books, books that are outside of the, you know, the American scope. It's really interesting. You see Man City minus -1.5 some places, -1 others, you know, money line -200 here. I will tell you the discrepancy in the lines of this thing, very interesting. Usually they're off a little bit, not this far off. This has been this is a bit of a surprise where everything seems to be right now.
Soccer has been in the news this week. Obviously, Lionel Messi's coming to MLS. I don't know if I believe it yet.
Oh, he is. It's over. Well, he's already openly said it.
Do you think we'll see him, though?
What do you mean we?
We here in New England.
So, I mean, they're playing tonight. So
The two teams are playing.
Right, so they're playing here tonight. So we're not going to see him this year unless they make the playoffs and they meet in the playoffs. So that's genuinely the only way that, you know, we're going to see him this year. So, no, we're not going to see him this year. But next year, yes, I think we're going to see him. And I think it will be huge. Not a surprise.
I'm kind of interested how all that plays out. There's been a lot of money flowing around this week. Obviously, with the golf news. You know what's funny? I've heard a few people, like, obviously this week, the big storyline on that one is just, you know, PGA Tour and LIV guys getting their money and getting crushed for it and other guys being loyal. Forget that storyline. I've actually, all right, now this is good for golf. Well, necessarily, how is it good for golf? Like, how actually is it going to be good for golf? And then I wonder on a betting sense, like, I don't know, is there going to be different courses? Like, are the courses different? Is it going to be, you know, more competition? I'm just curious how it's going to be so different or better for the game. I mean, I guess I watch them anyways, Dan. I'll watch it. I'll watch the big events, and for this next upcoming year, nothing's going to change. But how is it really make things better, actually, on the course? I think that's my big question.
Yeah, so I'm not a golf expert. I'm not going to try and pretend to be. But I will say that from a betting standpoint, it's actually pretty awful. Because what it does is it limits options for multiple attorneys that can be bet now. Because, again, it's not just LIV and the PGA Tour. There's also another tour that's joining. So, I mean, really, it's becoming a world tour, which is great theoretically, and I think it is good for the sport, Joe, but for the betting aspects of it, obviously not. You want more options. You want to be able to bet other things. So, no, well, of course it's not great that way, but I also think that, to be perfectly fair, as much as I'm someone who loves betting options and, oh, you know, whatever, I do think this is good for the sport. I've gotten into the sport the last couple of years. I'm not good. I'm not here to tell you I'm good or anything. I'm not. But, like, you know, it's genuinely going to be great to have kind of these guys who went to LIV, who everyone on the PGA Tour hates, right? And now they're playing together again. Maybe you have some actual rivalries that are created, you know, without being fake, no wrestling crap. You know, sorry, Joe. I want some, like, real, realistic people who like some real hate. And we don't get that in any sport anymore, right? And the NBA guys all grow up together. They don't hate each other, you know? The football players all grow up together. They don't hate each other. There's no hate in sports anymore, which is, like, used to be part, like, the best part of it. So maybe this genuinely creates some hate, which I think would be great for the sport. Maybe boost the popularity a little bit.
Do you think that there'll be, like, I'm actually kind of interested in this now. How does it affect gambling? There'll be head-to-head matchups, but do you think there'll be markets that will have LIV golfers, PGA golfers?
Yeah, definitely. I think there'll definitely be future markets, you know, for each tournament. Like right now, there's top American, top lefty, top European, et cetera, et cetera. I think they'll probably do the same thing, like top, you know, top former LIV golfer, et cetera, top, you know, whatever. So 100%, because the, you know, having more betting options, and again, anything that's an edge for the house, they'll put out there. So 100%, that will absolutely happen. And yeah, it's, what can I say? It's good for the sport.
You know, what's another thing with these LIV golfers, and maybe I'm just looking at it differently, but there's a lot of data that goes into this stuff. Like, how do you really look at what LIV golfers have done when they play on easier courses, right? Some of the data that you look into of how do they play on these type of holes, par fours, long distance, et cetera. Like, the courses they've played on are completely different than PGA courses. So it's like, I guess, how do you handicap how a golfer is done on those courses and now bring it back over into a major? It's just, I don't know. I guess if you look into those kind of things, the market has changed a bit.
So, I mean, I'm, again, not a golf expert, not going to try and pretend to me. But if I was going to approach that from a data standpoint, I would also probably heavily weigh what those players have done in, you know, major type events, and kind of, you know, how they played specific holes in those majors, maybe a little bit heavily or a little bit more heavily than I would for, you know, some of the other players. Again, I don't know the, you know, the actual description of, you know, the courses they're going to play, or I don't know any of that. I know they're joining forces. I know that it's going to completely limit betting options. Fine. But the reality is I don't know any of that. But what I would tell you is, Joe, is that, you know, you're probably, again, if you're looking at it just from a data standpoint, you're probably going to put a little bit more weight on specific, you know, championship type events where you can probably get some similarities in certain types of holes compared to others. I don't have a golf model. I don't know how to build one because I don't know what type of data I'm looking for. So, you know, to be honest with you, again, I don't know. But again, just theoretically, if I'm doing it, I'm probably just weighing the, you know, the courses that they have played together a little bit, you know, more heavily than the other ones.
So whenever a news story comes out on sports, I always think about how does this affect the gambling market?
Again, and you're a gambling guy, so that makes plenty of sense. And obviously, in my opinion, that's you know, the way that I would approach it as well.
Yeah, that one's, we're going to keep our eye on that one. So a big betting day. We'll recap the game last night. I thought was some interesting things. And the NHL game the other night kind of got me, Dan. I'm not going to lie to you. The officials kind of got involved in that one. But we got Harry. He's in Quincy. He wants to talk about the Champions League. What's up,
Good
Harry?
Good morning, fellas.
Hey.
Hey, since you brought up UEFA Champions and I've had enough of Boston team talk, I have to say you're right. Man City may be the best team, but they'll always be the little brothers of Man U. And Inter has a lot of history. Don't sell them short today, Joe. That's all I wanted to say. I appreciate changing up the topics, and I love listening to your sandwiches, your food talk.
Yeah, I don't think I'm the only one doing it anymore, though. You notice that?
No, you're not. You're not. There's a lot of people who love to talk about other stuff on the air now. Yeah. In terms of that, I mean, City being United's little brother, I mean, like, I don't know. It kind of changed when, you know, City brought in oil tycoon as their owner, and now they buy anyone they want, and they're clearly the best team in the world. I will say Inter Milan, I bet against them. I had AC Milan, you know, coming out of the semi, so definitely was wrong there. But, yeah, Inter is playing at an extremely high level. They are, you know, playing, you know, together. They are playing, you know, the best soccer, football, whatever, that they played all season. So they're definitely peaking at the right time. I'm not saying this is going to be a run over, you know, whatever. Merely describing, you know, City is playing the best soccer in the world. So if Inter Milan's going to beat them today, it's going to have to be, you know, something pretty crazy. They're going to have to play, they're going to have to play nearly flawless to beat City today. So no defensive gaps.
Can you talk about the eyes that are going to be on this thing today?
Yeah, I mean, it's the biggest sporting event in the world. People say, no, that's Super Bowl. No, it's not. You know, the World Cup, the Champions League are significantly, significantly larger. Like, it's not even close. You know, that's an American sport, so this is very different. You're going to see a ton of people talking about it on Twitter because there are soccer fans who don't like to admit they're soccer fans. So, look, this is going to be – it's a massive event. The reality of the situation for an event like the Champions League, when you have something like this, and just to give you the betting line right now, to lift the trophy, meaning including extra time, penalty kicks, et cetera, Man City is minus 450 in that range. So they're a massive favorite, right? You know, in that sense.
This is today. I saw some. Okay, I saw yesterday.
It's 3 o'clock today.
Wait. The betting line, though, I saw.
Right.
I thought I saw that Man City was like minus 225 at one point.
Yeah, so they're around minus 200 on the normal betting line. But that betting line, and for people who don't bet soccer, just to give you kind of a crash course, if you're betting the normal betting line where Man City is minus 200 or -1 or -1.5, et cetera, that is only for the 90 minutes and the extra time that you get, you know, for injuries. After that, if the game is draw, you know, if there's a draw in the game, they will go to what's called extra time. This betting line does not include extra time.
Yeah.
So if you want to get the extra time covered, you have to bet what's called to lift the trophy, et cetera, to win the cup, whatever, however they, you know, to raise the cup. There's a bunch of different terminology that they use for it. But basically, yes, in the 90 minutes plus stoppage time, Man City minus 200-ish. Total right now is around 2.75, which, again, we've explained that. This is not trying to be rude or anything. It's literally called an Asian betting line. That's what it's called. It basically means if, you know, 2.75, if it goes 3 goals, you win half your bet. If it's 4 goals, you win your full bet. If it goes under that, you lose. So it's basically a split wager to give you better odds. So instead of betting 2.5 at maybe minus 150, you're betting 2.75 around even money. So just to, you know, kind of, again, quick crash course there. And in regards to the spread, you know, again, spread is only for stoppage time, of course. Nothing, you know, you don't get that in extra time. So if you want to get the extra time, you're paying a penalty. It's a heavy penalty today, especially.
What's considered a draw just has to end in extra time?
In that 90-minute span plus the penalty time.
Plus injury, yeah.
Yep.
So that would be the draw, time. And then yep. The extra time is
extra time, to and they win. They take a break, and then they do 15 minutes, 15 minutes.
Got it. Yep. All right. Well, that's on the table today. For people who want to talk about, I know a lot. Parties everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the biggest sporting events in the world. So if you have anyone who watches this stuff, this is a, you know, a must watch event for sure. This year, I will tell you, this year this is definitely the biggest discrepancy in terms of odds I've seen in the past. I don't know, 5, 6, 7 years. In the final, because usually it's been, you know, two teams who are very close in talent. You know, this is not the case right now. Inter Milan is not close to as good as Man City. Man City is by far the best team in the world, and they're facing a team that genuinely many people would not expect to be here. So that's kind of where we are in the Champions League final. That's why you're seeing it priced the way it is.
I have a pick on the game, but we'll do it later. But I want to get your thoughts on this bet. There's no juice involved. But it actually could be for entertainment purposes as well. We'll do that. Let's take one call here before we go to break. Evan's in Connecticut. Hey, Evan.
What's up, boys? How you doing? Great show. I'm glad you talked about golf. I've been betting the majors, and I like to take like 100 or so and spread it over 5, 6, 7 guys. Am I throwing darts? Is there anything I can do for value? Because, I mean, obviously the spreads are crazy. And I'm glad Danny talked about it. I'll shut up and listen. Thank you.
All right, thanks. I mean, I think a lot of people do that now. Like, they just kind of, you know, these guys to win. But with the whole finish in the top 5, finish in the top 10, I just feel like there's value there, too, instead of just betting on winners.
Sure. So betting on winners, look, I have no advice for anyone in terms of that. I am not a golf guy. I am not good at betting golf. Actually, you know, the only golf that I bet are, you know, is through people that I know who are particularly, you know, usually pretty good at it. But in general, I know nothing about it. I'm not going to pretend to. The reality is that, you know, betting winners definitely holds value if you're betting, you know, the right guys. You're betting sharp numbers. If, you know, that's the reality of the situation. Spreading it out between, you know, 7, 8 guys because you know the names, that's different. That's very different. So I was just trying to follow someone who maybe knows a little bit more about the sport. Maybe can get you some sharper numbers or, you know, a little bit go into that. Don't pay for it, obviously, but again, maybe some free information or something like that. In regards to the top 10, top 5, top 20, Joe, yes, there is value in those situations. However, a lot of people don't know what's called the dead heat rule, where, again, if a guy is top 20 and he finishes tied with 5 other guys at top 20, they divide that 5 different ways, Joe. So, you know, you got to make sure that your books, and there are definitely local books that do not do the dead heat rule, make sure you're using a book that does not do the dead heat rule, because if you have that, you are going to get absolutely screwed. And, you know, in a situation there where all of a sudden you had a guy, you know, finish top 20 at 3-1 and he tied with 5 other guys, guess what? You only get paid out a fifth of that. So it's certainly not the way, you know, you have to really be careful about the way you want to approach things there.
All right, there we go. We let it off. Let's get into the NBA Finals coming up next, which I don't know if they're over yet, but we'll talk about it. How do you bet the rest of this thing? And if you got a Heat ticket, what do you do? We'll do all that coming up next. He's Dan Lifschitz. I'm Joe Murray. You're listening to 98.5 This
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Sports Hub.
If it's the biggest games in sports, you bet they're talking about it.
It's the DraftKings Over-Under Show with the Bankroll Boys on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Back here at 98.5 The Sports Hub. It's Joe Murray and Dan Lifschitz. We're here until 9 o'clock today. So the NBA Finals, here we are, 3-1. Denver with the lead. Last night, I mean, it was all Denver. I know Miami made a little bit of a run before halftime. How do you bet this thing now? I mean, I don't know what you had beforehand, Dan. I know there was a lot of love for Miami, just based off the way they played, but I'm not saying they've come back down to earth. That's not what I'm saying here about the whole, you know, finishing off the Celtics and then playing the next, like, game one, you knew Denver, like, you knew that.
Yep.
Game two, I was a little surprised, which made me think that maybe there's momentum for Miami after winning that game and then going back to Miami. Nope. They had, obviously, Murray and Jokic had both had triple doubles, and if you want to get on the Murray one at the end of the game, you shouldn't have been in there, and whatever. You can put an asterisk next to it if you want.
Right.
Last night, though, that was just, you know, second half, the adjustments, they weren't there. Who would have thought Gordon, though, would have went off the way he did? I don't think anyone had that one in there. And all the Nikola Jokic talk about, well, do you stop him or do you let him pass or whatever? I don't think they know anymore. And I think that's where everybody's at right now, is they don't know what to do with that team, because you stop Murray, then, you know, Gordon gets you. Porter's been brutal, though, huh? How bad has he been? He's shooting 13% from three. That's one of the worst in history.
Yep, he's been pretty awful.
But how do you bet this thing now? Is it Denver all the way? Does Miami have a shot now? One of the hardest places to win is in Denver, even though Miami's done it once.
Okay, so the way that I would approach this now, and again, I bet, wow, that sounds weird. Is that better?
You sound canned.
Yeah.
You sound like you're talking out of a can.
It does not sound good. Hold on.
Remember, like, when we were back in the day, you'd get cans with strings. How's and you'd talk about, hey!
Okay. That's better. Jeez, that did not sound good. We'll see if we can fix that in the break, but probably not. Yeah, so the way I'd approach it is this. You know, if you like... There's no good betting way to approach it right now. I mean, the series is, I think, Denver's minus 80,000. Like, the series is genuinely probably over at this point. You know, I think there's probably a better chance the series is over now than it was than when Miami was up 3-0 against the Celtics, to be fair. But, if you want to bet this, the way that I would approach it is, again, I would take a live betting aspect from this. I think Miami is best when they are down in a situation like this, Joe. So I do think that there is a legitimate chance they, you know, win game five. You know, they're down, you know, I got to be perfectly honest with you. I think that they can, you know, manage to kind of win game five. They're not going to push it to seven. I think they lose one of the next two. Denver's too talented for them. You know, what's really funny is that when they went to the Nikola Jokic, you know, one-on-one game, that was the game they won. And then they kind of have, for whatever reason, drifted away from that. Couldn't really tell you why, but they really have. They, you know, they played a lot of zone. And it just doesn't work sometimes. Sometimes you have to do other things, and I don't really understand it. But to be perfectly fair, you know, I think you have to bet it from a live betting, you know, standpoint.
The line's 9 points for those who want to know on Monday. Which, in a closeout game, I actually might have to look up the history of closeout games.
It's a big number. It's a big number in a closeout game. And I think that, you know, there's a very good chance that Miami can go on the road and win again. Again, this is when they play best. You haven't really seen a classic Jimmy Butler game in the finals yet either. So wouldn't shock me if Jimmy Butler has, you know, one of those master classes at some point. It feels like I don't really know what's going on with him. Definitely injured, right? I think we can say that there's definitely something wrong with him.
Butler? Oh, yeah.
Whether it's the foot or something's going on with him. But, you know, I do think that, you know, they need to pull something together, in my opinion there. So,
well, when it comes to Butler, though, there's a couple of things I've noticed. Last night, he gets into the paint. He gets doubled. You see Caleb Martin. He passes it to him. Martin's open, but there's just a slight, maybe, like, hand in the face. It's really an uncontested shot for the most part.
Yeah.
But they're trying to, like, make them contested shots, and they're not falling anymore.
I mean, it's just, it's not the same Miami team that played Boston, right? And again, you see the different type of confidence that they played when they played Boston. They knew they could beat them. They knew they were soft mentally. You know, the Miami thought they had some quit in them, and so they could find a way to beat them. And, you know, that's the reality of the situation, is they probably don't feel the same way about Denver. They probably look at Jokic and say, this guy doesn't have that. This guy's different. This guy's more mature. This guy, you know, this team is a little bit different. And unfortunately, I think that's kind of the big difference. You know, I really still don't, I'll be honest with you, I still don't think this Denver team is that good. I think they're, you know, are they a great all-time NBA champion? No, I don't think they're even closer even in that discussion. I think they are a good team who is having a good run, and they've had, you know, honestly, you know, they went through the West, so I can't really say anything else, but, you know, they're facing a team that just isn't nearly as talented as them. And
I think it's a generational talent. In Jokic is doing things that haven't.
But outside of Jokic, I mean, the team is just a bunch of role players. You know, everyone's talking about how crazy Jamal Murray is and how great he's playing. I don't know. Jamal Murray hasn't been great this series. He's actually been more a better distributor than he has been, you know,
he's been anything else. Yeah, he's been a great. So I've been just trying to stir the pot a little bit. I think Jalen Brown's a better player than Jamal Murray.
Yeah, I think it's crazy that people think it's even comparable.
I mean, yeah, if as far as talent actually goes, but it's worth a little bit of a discussion though, right? Murray plays well in fourth quarters. he has had a 50-point game.
Yep,
he's won games.
Yeah, sure. Look, man, I'm not.
But he's not a great defender by any
means. He's not a good defender at all. And, you know, a lot of the times, you know, there's a lot of things that Murray can't do nearly as well. He can't create his own shot. I mean, a lot of the shots being created there are when Jokic is on the court. Take Jokic off the court. Watch that offense. They're stagnant as hell. Like, they don't move. There's no running. It's just Murray, mostly Murray and the other guys chucking it up from three.
So you know what I do notice, though? Those two guys can play off each other. And I just, at times, I know, I get that one's a point guard and one's a big. I get it. You just wish that, like, Brown and Tatum could do that with each other at times?
Well, of course, because having a point guard and a big, you have the ability to play off of each other in those situations. When you have two wings, as great as that is, you don't have the ability to do that.
But I still feel like you could do a high pick and roll with each other. I still think you can do dribble handoffs with each other.
Yeah, I totally agree with that.
They don't do it.
But it's not going to be.
Because it's Missoula ball.
But it's not going to be nearly as effective. Well, hold on here, Joe, because you were in on Missoula ball a couple weeks ago.
Hey, you know who's playing Missoula ball? Denver.
No, they're not. They shot 18 threes the other night.
I'll give you that one. So at least in that defense, I think once they lost, I think they changed their
They don't shoot threes like that. They don't shoot threes.
Not at the volume of.
Now, I know Mike Malone said they, you know, this series will be decided at 3-point line, which I think is a bunch of BS. But, you know, they don't shoot threes like that.
By the way, him not calling a timeout when they were down, when he has two timeouts left, that drove me crazy. Give your team an opportunity. And like, what are the Heat? Who's the Heat defensive specialist that are going to come in and really be a disadvantage? They just
Butler. I mean, it's
but the thing is, Murray's shot wasn't bad. It wasn't a bad shot.
No, the fact that they didn't foul him is insane. There, how do you not foul that guy? With you know, in that situation. But regardless, yeah, Mike Malone, good, not great head coach. You know, that's why I said, you know, if you had Mike Malone versus Joe Mazzulla, I don't think there is a major coaching mismatch there. I think when you have, you know, Mazzulla versus Spoelstra, you see the huge difference in the coaching. But I don't think coaching means all that much. And I heard Maz this week talk about how he thinks, you know, that it means way more now than it ever did. I completely disagree. I think it means less now than it ever did. Unless you have an elite guy, you have, you know, a top three or four coach, and Mike Malone is not that guy. He's just not. He's a good coach. You know, there are good things about him, but he's not that guy. He's going to win a title. Plenty of bad coaches have won a title. Frank Vogel is not a good coach. He won a title. You know, like there are plenty of guys who are very mad coaches who win titles. And, you know, Joe Mazzulla, it's crazy to me. People want to get rid of Joe Mazzulla. The growth from games 1-3 to 4-7 was massive. Like, just the timeouts, just games 1-3 to 4-7. It was a huge difference. Oh, yeah, right?
And honestly, in game 7, the only thing I really get on Mazzulla about was Malcolm Brogdon. Like when he got when he came into the game, they were up 5.
So
he comes out of the game, they're down 17.
I mean, it wasn't that bad, but I do think that was not his call, Joe.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, I don't think that's necessarily.
Hey, listen, in Boston, how many times have we seen a player say, well, I'm going to play, and it hurts the team? Patrice Spurs are on.
Yep.
Allmark, just to use other examples.
I think that feels more like an ownership general manager type call. And again, as much as we all want to give Mazzulla credit for things, or discredit him for things, you have to remember a lot of these calls are not his calls. Like the way that they play Celtics basketball, like, you know, Brad Stevens is telling you we want to shoot threes, like, you know. So does Mazzulla maybe want to be a little bit more defensive, and maybe does it come from the organization? Like, I don't know. It does feel like sometimes, you know, people like to crap on Mazzulla. They have the same problems they did last year. Like the same things that happened under Udoka happened under Mazzulla. Like they struggled down the stretch. They were actually worse down the stretch with Udoka than they were in close games than they were with Mazzulla.
Well, I think these two teams, though, like the Celtics, I hope they're watching still, because I think you could take a lot from the Heat, whether it's their mentality, the way they play together, their defensive mindset, and just their belief that they can try to win. I mean, like, they were determined to beat the Celtics, and they did.
Yep.
When it comes to Denver, they talk about playing with each other and playing off each other. And it's just, I hate to say it, it really is a mindset with these two teams than it is actual ability, which, to your point, is Denver an all-time team? No.
No, they're not.
But do they have an all-time player?
Yes. I mean, that's the thing is, that's the other thing that people are kind of, I think, are missing with the Celtics. Jason Tatum is a really good player. Really good. He's not Jokic. In fact, I don't think he's close to Jokic right now. So when people talk about, like, the Celtics should be favored and they should be winning and they have all this talent, sure. But they don't have an all-time talent. There's no LeBron. There's no Jokic. Like, Jokic is on that list, whether you want to believe it or not. Like, if you're averaging a triple-double in the NBA Finals, you're there. Like, he is, in my opinion, probably the best player in the league right now. Should have won the MVP, obviously. Maybe Kendrick Perkins can shut the bleep up about, you know, his NBA knowledge, because he looks like an effing moron right now for all the things he said. You know, I'll call it, you know, saying, oh, he only gets votes because he's, you know, whatever. Yeah, we're not getting into that. But like, just the stupidity of all the NBA media who were like, oh, Jokic, you know, you were just crapping on Jokic, you know, after Joel Embiid had the monster game in Boston. Again, fine with Joel Embiid winning, but jeez, you couldn't be more incorrect.
You and Stephen A. Smith are on the same side, and I always hear J.J. Redick argue about that. I heard them arguing the other day, and it was basically saying, yeah, Jokic is great, but you know, it is, you can try to stop him. And J.J. Redick comes back with, yeah, the highest percentage shot in the NBA is a Jokic, like, you know, shot on the post or whatever.
Sure, and it's not wrong, but you also live and die by the slow pace that the Nuggets have when you do that. When you play one-on-one versus Jokic, They don't play well offensively.
The Celtics actually played well against Denver. I know they split.
They did, and I think that the Celtics would have probably been better equipped to handle between Robert Williams and Al Horford. I'm going to be honest with you, this one sounds silly, but Marcus Smart actually affected Jokic when he played him, which is kind of funny.
And Grant Williams.
I think Jokic can really get there. Grant would be a horrendous
player. He's Batman. Remember?
Grant sucks. Can we move on from the Grant Williams stuff? Sorry, Grant. I don't want that guy in Boston anymore.
He just had a head surgery.
Yeah, I'm done with him. I'm very okay with Grant
Orlando
Williams
would like him, from what I hear.
Yeah, I'm very okay with him leaving.
Mikal Bridges? Was like, oh, there's so much smoke in the city. We need to call Batman, and it's a picture of Grant Williams.
I can't stand Grant Williams on the court. I don't care about off the court. On the court, I can't stand him. I do not like him watching him play. So I know I'm sure there's a million Celtics fans who are losing their minds at that right now. But the reality of the situation is, you know, we've talked about and Joe, we've talked about this the last whatever times we've been in. The Celtics do not have a talent problem. And I keep hearing, we talk about the Damian Lillard stuff. You want to talk about betting markets, Damian Lillard betting markets, right? You know, where could he be? I think Miami makes easily the most sense for him. There's a ton of tradable pieces there salary-wise. Tyler Herro, Kyle Lowry. There's more I'm blanking on, off the top of my head right now. But there are tradable salary pieces that easily make that work as well. So that's number one there, Joe. Number two is the fact that, they could easily, give them back future pick swaps, a bunch of other stuff, especially if Portland decides to kind of go the way and go Scoot Henderson at number three, which is kind of the way it feels like, is probably what's going to happen. There's a good chance that Lillard, then gets moved. If that's the case, because you got to play, Sharp and there's a million things.
Let's hold that because we'll do all of these next segment. Chris Paul, Kyrie Irving, Dalvin Cook, DeAndre Hopkins.
Okay. But can we
got
can
all
we,
four?
One thing. Enough of the Chris Paul to Boston stuff. Seriously, you guys got to stop. First off, Chris Paul is not taking a minimum contract to come to Boston to be the fourth point guard on a roster. Or the third point guard on the roster. He doesn't shoot the three.
He's a boring loser.
He doesn't. Yeah.
And the rest
he's a loser. He's a loser. He went to the NBA Finals. He lost. He played with James Harden. He lost. He is a loser.
2010? In.
No, I don't want that guy.
Oh, my God. Back in 2010? No.
I'm all set with that guy.
They tried. The Lakers had him, and the NBA said, we own him.
I'm aware. No. I don't want this guy. And everyone's like, oh, he'd be the pass for his point guard. Fantastic. You don't have a talent problem. You have a mentality problem. Bringing in a guy who has lost everywhere he's gone in his career. Everywhere.
Oh, he's a born loser.
Everywhere he's gone. And you bring him in with the guys who are still young. Tatum and Brown are 25 and 26 in NBA history. You don't win until you're 27 or 28, folks. That's super young. I don't want this guy within 400 million yards of my team. No, thank you. Let some other stupid organization sign him. There's a reason the Phoenix Suns are having the potential of letting him walk for nothing. Okay, there's a reason that team who is trying to win a title is cutting him and potentially losing him for nothing because he sucks mentally, not physically. He's still a good NBA player. He's still useful. I get it. He plays a role. That guy sucks. No, thank you.
Loser.
No, thank you. No James Harden, no Kevin Durant, no Chris Paul. Three players in the league to avoid. Just those three. None of them. I'm all set. Thank you.
Out.
Jeez.
Out.
And it's so funny because we play Philly. James Harden, natural born loser. So is Chris Paul. But when he becomes available, all you guys jump at him. Oh, man, I love Chris Paul. It's the dumbest thing in the world. You guys are so inconsistent with your takes. Either you want losers or you don't. But you can't pick and choose how it would work for the Boston Celtics and how they would overcome it. No, you're either a loser or you're not.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll give you those where everyone's going to land. I like that rant. All right, we'll have more coming up next here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
That guy sucks.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Now, more of the DraftKings Over-Under Show with Joe Murray and Dan Lifshatz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, back here at 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Has this been fixed? No.
No, you sound better.
Sound better? I still
feel does he sound? No, you sound. You sound Ken.
Yeah.
What I would do is sit there, but just see that the mic next to you.
I know.
Just make it a. I've used three mics there before.
Okay. All right. Yeah, this sounds terrible.
Yeah. There you go. There you go. Hey, now he's back. All right. So let's knock these out real quick because Dan had a big rant about Chris Paul at it. It hit hard.
Because, look, it's weird that, like, Celtics fans are like, they love to make fun of James Harden. They love to make fun of Kevin Durant. Except when those guys are available. They're like, ooh, can we get them? And they'll be perfect for our team. And it's like, the inconsistency of fans, and it's not just here, it's everywhere, but just, like, the inconsistency. Like, if they're losers, they're losers. Like, stop trying to make them something they're not.
Chris Paul's next team favorite, Phoenix Suns -180.
Yeah, so that actually after, so funny enough, the market opened and then they announced he might re-sign there. He was like 25-1 to go back to Phoenix, which a lot of places were actually offering the market when that happened.
Lakers next, which makes sense.
No, I'd say it does, but it doesn't because I don't think LeBron's going to be there.
Ooh. Oh, by the way, this Kyrie thing, from everything I've read, he's doing this to basically the Mavericks can't acquire.
Yeah, they can.
How?
It's like Tim Hardaway and like
well, they don't have any picks though or anything.
They do. They have you have a bunch of.
Well, you got the futures, the 2028.
Yeah. Again, is it
the new CBA has made certain things available?
Is it likely? No, it's not likely. But can they do it theoretically? Yes.
Okay. So the Lakers, Clippers, Heat. Ooh, I don't think he's a good
fit. I don't think Pat Riley wants to touch that, dude.
Spurs, and then the Celtics at 10-1.
The Spurs makes some sense to me, right? Because you don't really have a point guard. You've traded DeJounte Murray. You traded Derek White, right? You kind of don't really have, I guess, in my opinion, a point guard. And you're definitely not drafting one this year. You know, Trey Jones is the starter there. Like, you know, he's fine. He's an NBA player, I guess, but whatever. I think that makes sense because I would bring in Chris Paul if I was the Spurs. Pop likes him. You're not winning a title, right? You're not winning a title. You can pay him, and I think that's, you know, maybe someone who would, you know, at least try and give you some sort of leadership because right now they have none. And by the way, I'm not saying it's going to work. I don't want Chris Paul near my team because he can't win. Having him give some sort of locker room leadership to a team that has, you know, none is a little bit of a different story. So, no, they're not the same. So, you know, I mean, really, like, Romeo Langford is one of their older players now, which is kind of crazy if you think about it. But, yeah, I think he fits on a team like the Spurs, a rebuilding team. If he wants to try and win a title, you know, follow LeBron somewhere. You can try and do the Carmelo Anthony thing. You can follow LeBron. I don't even know if LeBron wants him. Like, LeBron, you know, LeBron has never really tried to acquire him, right? And we all know LeBron goes after who he wants. I don't know. LeBron's never really tried for Chris Paul because I think he knows that Chris Paul's a freaking loser. So, I don't know. We'll see. I do think LeBron will be moving teams, though. I think that's why the retirement talk.
I'll look if there's odds on that. No, Kyrie Irving's next team, Lakers, Clippers, Hawks, Phoenix, Miami.
I don't think. I think he resigns.
Well,
I think he resigns. I mean, really, like, he gets to play with Doncic. He has an owner that, like, will listen to him because, you know, Cuban's, like, progressive and weird and all that stuff. So he gets an owner to listen to him. I don't really. The other thing is, man, like, at some point, like, you kind of run out of destinations in the league. You kind of keep burning bridges. Like, he's burned three bridges now. You can't keep burning through bridges in the NBA because you're going to find other teams that, like, you know, bring in the same general manager, same head coach, et cetera, et cetera. Like, there's too many coincidences as the league, you know, as the league goes and goes. So I think he probably stays.
All right. And then two more. Dalvin Cook, released from the Vikings. He's been very productive, very productive. The Dolphins, Broncos, Bills, Cowboys.
So I think the Dolphins are the obvious one, but I do think they make genuinely the most sense. Like, they need a workhorse back who can also, you know, who's also kind of worked with a third down back, so it would be a very good situation in Miami. And, you know, I think that, you know, they're going to have to start relying a little bit more on the run game if they don't want Tua to get, you know, another concussion. That's the reality of the situation.
Keep the passing game honest too. You know,
I think that, you know, well, forget about that. They have to run the football more and more effectively because you just don't want Tua dropping back 30 to 40 times a game. You just can't have it.
I think him and Mostert would be a nice little
agreed. Agreed.
A little power runner with a dynamic back.
And I think you could even, you know, probably work Jeff Wilson Jr. in there. And I think you could probably, you know, those three would be really good. I kind of saw the way Philly ran their backs last year with, you know, Sanders, Gainwell, and wow, who am I blanking on? Who's the small back there?
Smallwood? No.
The small running back. Wow, how am I blanking on this? I'm sure there's people shouting in their car. Ryan, do you remember the other Eagles running back? How am I blanking on it? Boston Scott. Jeez. Okay. Took me a minute.
Who scored a touchdown that was taken off the board?
Okay. But like, so like they kind of ran those three guys last year. Now they have four. They added Penny and DeAndre Swift. So that's going to be interesting. Scott's probably gone there. But the reality of the situation is I think that Miami probably goes there and you don't need to rely on, you know, Cook for a million carries. But if he's hot, he's also the guy you can give 20 carries to in a game, and you feel perfectly comfortable with that. So that's kind of the thing to me is I think he's a really good fit in Miami, which sucks as a Patriots fan, but I think that's ultimately the best fit.
All right, well, we've got the Hopkins odds as well. We'll save that for the top of the hour here. Summer road trips, they're around the corner. Visit NewEnglandOilChange.com to save 20% off your next service at Valvoline Instant Oil Change. We've got hour two of the Bankro Boys coming up next here on 98.5.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.